The United States has officially rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement to slow the devastating effects of climate change. And in another sign that the tone in Washington has shifted with a new president, Joe Biden told a group of European leaders who gathered virtually today that America is back.
The last 4 years have been hard, but Europe and the United States have to lead with confidence once more, with faith in our capacities, a commitment to our own renewal, with trust in one another.
For this and more, we've got with us for our Friday Politics Roundtable, Aisha Roscoe, who is NPR's White House correspondent. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
Hello. And Olivia Nuzzi, who is a Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you for having me.
Well, world leaders knew Biden well before when he was vice president under Obama. Is it a sure thing that old alliances that were strained under former President Trump will be easily restored under President Biden? What signs are you watching for there, Olivia?
Well, it's interesting. On the campaign trail, this was something that Biden frequently talked about. He said that he had personal relationships with world leaders, that he continued to speak to them even after his time as vice president was over. It was sort of a way for him to draw a distinction between him and the former president, Donald Trump, and also for him to talk about his foreign policy experience. You know, he did not have, I think, the most traditional foreign policy experience during his time in Washington. But he did his best to kind of use his personality and talk about the personal relationships that he was able to forge over his multi-decade career here. Whether or not that's going to mean that things will immediately be restored to the way that they were in the Obama era, I think that remains to be seen. That's certainly been Joe Biden's hope, and that has been something across the board with every issue that he has been pitching since he started running for president 2 years ago at this point, that basically it would amount, if he were elected, it would amount to an Obama restoration. They're still talking about it that way, and it seems as if they are still hoping that that will be the case, whether we're talking about climate, we're talking about the Iran deal, we're talking about our foreign policy more broadly. But I think it's one of those things that, unfortunately, the realistic answer is time will tell.
Well, I want to bring Aisha in here, and you mentioned Iran. The Biden administration has formally offered to restart nuclear talks with Iran as a way to restore the deal that former President Trump rejected. Aisha, how is that being received?
Well, you know, I think that this was something that is not unexpected, because there was a part of the tensions between the U.S. and Europe was the decision of the former Trump administration to unilaterally pull out of the deal with Iran, even though, Iran was, not going against that deal, was in compliance with the deal. And that left allies in the region kind of out to dry, in a sense, because they had signed on to the deal. So I think it's not surprising, but it's going to be a difficult situation either way. It's not clear how these talks would start back up. And obviously Iran is still a threat. And even though during the Trump administration complained about was this idea that the Iran nuclear deal did not deal with all of the other malign activities that Iran was engaged in. But even pulling out of the deal, it did not change Iran's posture in the region. And obviously there were very strong tensions between the U.S. and Iran during the Trump administration. And that hasn't changed right now. So I think those are things that the Biden administration will have to figure out how to deal with.
That is an important story, and we're going to talk about it elsewhere in the show today. I do want to talk about this other political development, though. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz apologizing several times and in several ways yesterday for taking his family to Cancun while millions of Texans were sitting in the freezing cold, boiling their water at home during the state's power grid crisis. Here's Ted Cruz on Fox News last night.
As I was heading down there, I started to have second thoughts almost immediately, because the crisis here in Texas, you need to be here on the ground. And as much as you can do by phone and Zoom, it's not the same as being here.
Aisha, this is not a good look for Senator Cruz. Do you think he realizes how big of a mistake he made?
I think he realizes it, because that's why he was apologizing any and everywhere yesterday. Mm. It is, you know, this is the sort of thing that in the past could have been viewed as career suicide. You have this huge catastrophe in your state, and then for a politician, and so you have this huge catastrophe, and then you head off with your family for a luxury vacation, where people, you know, people are dying, people are suffering right now. It is the idea that he couldn't have done much because he's a federal, you know, he's a federal lawmaker, doesn't really hold weight when people, you know, he has all of these connections in Texas. He could have been, you know, arranging things, using his platform to put pressure on other people. And just the idea of not suffering with the people in your state who are going through something. So I think that's why you saw him apologize. And I think this is a difficult thing to just quickly recover from. This is going to follow him. You know, not saying that he can't recover from it, but it will definitely be something that's going to be brought up for against him whenever he runs again.
Well, Olivia, just a few weeks ago, I think it was in December, Ted Cruz called the mayor of Austin a hypocrite for going to Mexico during the pandemic. And to me, it seems here that the bigger story is just how often political leaders, it seems like in this day and age, although I know this has probably been going on for a long time or forever, that they can say and do anything without consequence.
Right. Well, I think that the Trump era certainly emboldened lawmakers to feel that way. But I wanted to point out about Ted Cruz. It is true that he apologized yesterday. And it's true that even in that Fox News segment with Sean Hannity that we just listened to, that he apologized. But first, Sean Hannity spent a couple minutes trying to absolve Cruz of any wrongdoing. And Ted Cruz tried to absolve himself of any wrongdoing by pointing out that he had taken seriously a Fox News meteorologist saying that the weather was going to be much worse this week than anyone was anticipating. So Ted Cruz seems to be kind of having it one way when he speaks to local media, when he speaks to the national mainstream press, and another way when he's on Fox News and he's talking to the people who you could consider to be his base of supporters. And I think that's an important thing to note, that the way that our media is fractured is something that people like Ted Cruz seem to really be attempting to take advantage of.
Point taken there. You know, we've seen how few politicians actually survive a weather disaster unscathed. We remember George W. Bush will forever be linked to Hurricane Katrina. You know, this morning, President Biden told reporters he'll decide early next week whether to go forward with a trip to Texas. Is this a leadership test for Biden? How is he doing on this front, Aisha?
I do think it's a leadership test because, you know, as you said, these major disasters can be really defining moments. I do think in this case, because the Biden administration has, for the most part, approached this with a seriousness, you know, and have, you know, they've done the disaster reliefs, you know, the disaster declarations. They've sent in FEMA. And there doesn't seem to be much complaints about the federal response at this point. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of weight at this point on President Biden. He's done the leadership things. He's said the right things. He's made the calls, and he's not being seen as kind of sleeping on duty. Now, obviously, these things can change very quickly, and they'll have to make sure that the federal government continues to meet the needs of Texas. But right now, it doesn't seem like the focus is really on him, especially when you have like Senator Ted Cruz kind of taking some of the heat off of everyone.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that Aisha makes there, that Ted Cruz has kind of bestowed this gift on President Biden, whereas ordinarily I think we might be watching very closely how the new president of the United States handles his first big weather crisis when Americans are dying. And because of what Ted Cruz did, the focus is really on Ted Cruz and not on Joe Biden, and he's not receiving very much criticism at all.
Yeah. You know what? With the little bit of time that we have with you, I want to ask you a question. Democrats unveiled this comprehensive immigration reform without the border security overhaul that attracts Republicans to the issue. It includes an 8-year pathway to citizenship for undocumented migrants and a 3-year pathway for Dreamers. How are Democrats going to get those 60 votes in the Senate? With the minute I have left with you, Aisha.
It's not clear at all how they'll do it, and they haven't really, you know, Jen Psaki has press secretary Jen Psaki has been pressed on this, how their strategy, and all we know right now is that it's been rolled out. This is a heavy lift, and they have a lot of other things on their plate. This is going to be tough to get done, and other administrations have not succeeded.
Yeah, Biden also wants to pass his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package by mid-March when extended benefits are due to expire. Aisha Roscoe is NPR's White House correspondent, and Olivia Nuzzi is as Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.